Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
We talked to Mason about it, and I don't know when it was exactly, but it was a private message, and the guy, I guess, screenshotted it, which is against the code of private messages on screenshots, you know? So I know what Mason is. I know what he means to this football team, what he's meant to this football team, and anything he said in a personal message was personal, and I really don't take anything from it. I do, however, disagree with that guy posting a private message out on social media, so broke a code there, which I don't agree with. But as far as Mason, man, I have nothing but respect for him as a person, as a player.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. And things are starting to get nuts at Redskins Park. We have seen this before late in the season when the team starts to kind of take a nosedive and the stories start piling up. It sure seems like that's what's happening in Ashburn right now. Before we dive in too deep, I want to thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, so you should too. Mitch is here and Pete is here. We're all in different locations because things are a bit of a zoo. But, fellas, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, fellas.
Fun day at the park today, huh?
Let's start with the headline is obviously going to be Mason Foster's comment that we're I think on an Instagram private message to, I believe, a fan. Somehow Mason Foster has to be the public face of this, and the fan gets to kind of have total anonymity. But before we get into anything else, what Mason said was wrong. What Mason said, it was silly of Mason to be texting stuff like that to a fan or whoever, somebody he doesn't know. What the guy did was wrong also, to take private comments like that, make them public, totally just blow up somebody's life. For what? I'm not really sure. I think that's wrong, too. But I want to be clear that Mason shouldn't be talking about the team and the fan base like that. I know a lot of fans are really, really upset that Mason would say something like that. I would caution a few things. I think we have no idea what the context was around the quotes. You know, he used that crying emoji. Maybe this was all a joke to him. He didn't understand it. And I'd also say this. Everybody complains about work and drama around their work. I know I do it. Mitch does it. Pete never stops complaining about work. I'm pretty sure he hates working with us. These kinds of things happen. Everybody that's flipping out about this, think about what you've texted your friends about your office or your office mates or the stinky guy you work with. Whatever it may be, try to take a step back and imagine the scenario. I think it's worth prefacing all of this with that. Jay Gruden talked, a lot of players talked about Mason Foster's comments. We're going to get to all that. I want to let Pete and Mitch weigh in on what Mason said, if you guys want to. You know, it was dumb he did it. It shouldn't have gone public, and here we are.
I mean, it's frustrating for us a little bit because for whatever, you know, fans think about it, obviously, he said all that jazz. Mace is one of the good guys in that locker room, especially with the media. He talks to us all the time. And honestly, by him talking to us, he's talking to the fans all the time, through the good times and the bad times. After every game, every Wednesday, whenever you need a soundbite or you need to talk to him about what's going on with the team and at the park and whatnot, he's one of our go-to guys. And so he's really one of your go-to guys as the fans because he's communicating to you constantly. And, you know, how many players DM with their fans back and forth, you know? And unfortunately, because he's such a forward-facing guy on a defense that's been struggling, he's taken a lot of trash on the internet. I mean, he had to, he talked about shutting down his Twitter account a few weeks ago because it just was too much after games and whatnot. And listen, I think he would admit to it. I think a lot of people would say he hasn't had the greatest season, but he's also been a really stand-up guy. And, you know, for me, I hate to see, you know, a guy who puts himself out there and does his best to do the right thing, you know, and communicate with fans and talk to fans and talk to the media and all that stuff, kind of be burned in this kind of situation. And it's not right, but, you know, one of the things that I always go back to is, you know, kind of what JP said about how freaking frustrating work can be sometimes. And sometimes you don't say the right thing, you know, in the heat of the moment, especially for these guys who are, you know, putting their health and their livelihood on the line every single week. It's a tough situation, and you feel for Mason. I understand the frustration from fans, but, you know, Mace is a good dude, and hopefully, you know, it's a forgivable offense.
Yeah, when he says F this team and F this fan base, I don't think he means that at all. I mean, we've seen him just do stuff with Chris Bryant and wear wristbands for Chris Bryant's daughter. Like, he clearly loves the fans and feels the support, but I'm sure he's just been taking a ton of heat, as a ton of all these other players have, on this four-game losing streak. And it's, at some point, you reach a boiling point where maybe you just slip up and say something bad. And that screenshot is pretty damning, but we haven't seen the messages before or after, or the countless messages with Mason where he's being cool with fans or telling fans to stick with him. So it's one bad screenshot and a litany of probably other good ones, and it's unfortunate that it leaked. And it's unfortunate that for another Wednesday, all the players are talking about this off the field instead of on the field things. But it's just everybody around this team is frustrated and everybody's reacting harshly to it. But I don't think it really means too much in the grand scheme of things.
Yep. I think Mitch nailed it. Mason is, like, I know Mason as a dad, as a person, as a friend. He's a good person. He absolutely loves the team and loves the fans. But, dude, he was catching so much shit that I think he just got tired of it and had a bad reaction. All of that said, what he wrote is indefensible. And so I don't want, you know, the fans that listen to us to think that we aren't hearing what you're saying. I get it. I know there are fans that think he shouldn't still be the captain. I think I don't see that changing, but I hear it. I hear that frustration because you guys are the ones filling up the stadium and buying T-shirts and all that. This team means a lot to you. It hurts. So I get that. So I'm not – so Jay Gruden talked and then a lot of players talked. He kind of just ignored it and said, you know, people make mistakes on social media. I thought it was a private conversation. All the players said the private conversation thing. Jay Gruden really zeroed in on it being a private conversation and that Gruden knows who Mason is as a player and as a teammate. He's one of the hardest working guys. He shows up to everything the team does. It's tough because this is going to be one of those situations where the rule of Chandler, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. If you watch what Mason does as a player, as a teammate, he works super hard all the time. He never complains. He's not that type of person. He was voted captain. It's not like he was installed as captain. The players voted for him. All of that is what he does, but what he said is bad. And I think the quote that's going to stick out from Gruden's press conference is, I don't even care. For Jay to say, I think the big dichotomy from what fans are going to hear and what Gruden means is fans hear, I don't care that Mason Foster insulted the fan base. What Jay, I think, is saying is, I don't think this is going to make any impact on whether or not we beat the Jaguars. I want to go beat the Jaguars, and that's what matters. And it's kind of, stay with me here, in a twisted way, there's some similarities to the team signing Reuben Foster in that they know the PR hit is going to be bad, and there are legitimate questions about everything that Reuben Foster has done and bringing him to the organization means. But they don't care because they believe Reuben Foster can help them win football games. And obviously it's coming, you know, if stuff is proven with Foster that they're going to disassociate themselves with them. But what Mason did to football coaches and to football people is nothing. As far as they're concerned, it might have been a joke. They don't even know the validity of it all. And it's a non-starter. I think fans feel, many fans, I think, feel completely different. You guys, I don't know if you guys agree what your reaction was to Gruden's quotes.
I actually thought it was kind of close to the Reuben Foster situation in that Doug Williams had to be the forward-facing person to signing Reuben Foster, even though he wasn't, you know, the end-all, be-all reason that they signed him. Much like Jay was forced to answer for Mason today, I agree with you in football terms. I don't think that the Redskins and or Jay are particularly worried about it, but this is something that Jay, as the head of the team, had to address. But at the end of the day, Mason's going to be the guy that's going to have to address it, and it's going to linger until we hear from him. And I don't blame him one bit for taking today off from the media. In fact, I would probably argue this is maybe the first day that he's taken off since heck training camp. I mean, he's one of those guys that's always there, but I think Jay might end up taking a little bit of flack for maybe not crafting his words correctly, you know, kind of much like Doug did. We know the kind of man that Doug Williams is, and he clearly misspoke when discussing the Reuben Foster situation. And I think in some regards, Jay sort of misspoke a little bit today. He's saying, I don't care, because he, like you said, was definitely talking about in football terms, you know, it's not going to affect Mason calling the defense or lining up the correct way, but obviously fans are going to take it a different way. And unfortunately, when these drama-filled situations pop up, it's real easy to take, you know, a particular set of wording and kind of read it in the worst-case scenario because you're dealing with a bad scenario as is.
Yeah, and while we heard Jay kind of dismiss it, and also Adrian Peterson and Jonathan Allen, two of the more respected guys in there, dismiss it, it is yet another defender having kind of this individual problem flare up, and now it's Mason and DJ and Zach and Josh Norman's had some issues. So this defense all over the place is just kind of fracturing and splintering, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they gel on Sunday. It feels like it's almost impossible at this point for everybody to be on the same page when guys are calling out coaches and people are getting exchanges with fans and people are upset about playing time. The whole defense is just kind of deteriorating, not only on the field, but off of it as well, it feels like.
Yeah, man, and it's something that, you know, if you listen to this podcast, we've kind of been hinting at for a while. Like, obviously, I never expected to see Mason have that kind of exchange with a fan, but I know how many players have asked me, just like legitimately asked me, why are the fans so negative? And it's tough because I know a lot of the fans, and I know a lot of the fans that, one, aren't negative, and I know, two, a lot of fans that are negative now are kind of reacting to a four-game losing streak and getting down 40-0 to the Giants, a pretty embarrassing effort. And I think a lot of those fans are just frustrated. And then there are just some, like, negative, like, Twitter's a mean place, man, and people forget that players are people and have to react to that shit, too. And I keep circling back, though, that, like, I'm not defending what Mason said. What he said was completely wrong, and you can't do that. I think when he says F the team is one thing, because I think everybody has gone through a moment where they're at work or whatever, and they're like, man, F this. You know what I mean? Like I know when I talk about, like, my alma mater, you know what I mean? Like, when Maryland loses a basketball game, I'm like, oh, man, F that. You know, like, there are moments of that don't mean something greater, but it's a bad situation, and Mason will address it. Knowing Mason a little bit, I definitely think he will talk about it. I'm not sure when that moment will come. And the hardest part about all this is what Adrian Peterson kept saying is, hey, man, we're a half game out of the playoffs. Like, we don't need all this extra shit on the side. Like, we need to be focused on the playoffs. And, you know, it's getting – each week it seems harder and harder to do. Another thing that popped off today that we weren't expecting was Zach Brown basically talking about – he sees the – after being benched last week against the Giants, he sees the writing on the wall – and that he's just waiting for his time to end with the Redskins. And he signed a 3-year deal this offseason, but if you look at the deal, there's no real guaranteed money for next season. The team could get out of it. They'd take a $3 million cap hit, but they'd save another $5 million against the cap. Brown got benched last week against the Giants because he missed. If you listen to this podcast, Jay Gruden on Monday told me that Sean Deion Hamilton is going to keep getting more work. If Deion Hamilton's getting the work, means ZB's on the bench. likely. What the hell do we make of that, fellas?
I mean, it was an interesting situation because we stopped Zach to talk to him partially about Mason's comments, which he kind of dismissed as, you know, he wasn't paying attention to it. And then we kind of got right. And then we kind of got into the, you know, frustrations of not playing and all that. And kind of the interview was over, right? And then the last comment that he made before we were about to, you know, everyone was about to kind of pack it in was, well, and I see the writing on the wall. And JP, to his credit, was like, yo, Zach, like, wait, what? We were about to be done here, but
yeah, we kind of opened up a can of worms.
And he talked about how frustrated he was because he wanted more honesty, and he kind of wouldn't delve into where he wanted more honesty. But I think between him being frustrated about being benched because he was sick, he talked about, you know, what do you want me to go out there and throw up on the field for you to prove that I'm sick? And then all of a sudden he's benched. You know, you talk all the time about you don't want a player shouldn't lose their starting job to injury or illness or whatever. But it seems kind of in this situation that sort of seems to be what happened. And it's, I mean, there's, I think, you know, going forward, these little stories are going to keep popping up as happens with this team. And most teams, when they, you know, have a promising start to a season and kind of come to a little bit of a fiery end.
Yeah, and when Zach says he sees the writing on the wall, like, I mean, we've all kind of been in jobs where someone's kind of on their way out and they have another thing lined up or they're just ready to move on, and they aren't 100% bought in, and that kind of just rubs off negatively on everybody. So Buck may not play as much anymore with Sean Dion taking more of the reps. He's still a presence on the field and in practice and in the locker room, and who knows how that, if he is kind of ready to just move on, who knows how that attitude is going to rub off on other players who, and younger guys who are impressionable. It could be a pretty negative situation very quickly.
Well, and
he's also a year removed from being the lead tackler.
Right, but here's the other thing, not to keep circling back to Reuben Foster, but when the team adds Reuben Foster, that has a pretty direct relationship to how Mason Foster and Zach Brown feel about their place on the team, because that's just not adding a practice squad guy. That's a former first rounder at the position they play, and the team is willing to take on all the trouble that came with the Foster signing to get him in the facility. So, like, to me, it's not a shock that all of these comments from the middle linebackers are happening after the team added another middle linebacker either, you know?
That's an excellent point.
God, man, it's so crazy to think that it was a month ago they were 6-3, and the playoffs certainly were no certainty, but they sure seemed like they were going to happen. And now this is the situation. I mean,
it's crazy because they're still kind of in playoff contention.
Dude, if they can go win in Jacksonville, they are absolutely in playoff contention.
I think if they win in Jacksonville, more than likely they'll be in that sixth playoff spot, which is crazy.
Right.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
All right, before we keep going, we got to talk about Josh Johnson, who spoke with the media also. And, hell, we haven't even talked about injuries. I wrote a story on the offensive depth chart, which is just a total shit show. And it's not a fair word. It's just there's a lot of new faces in there. Before we do that, I want to thank the good folks, Orsman, Chevy Buick GMC. That's our guy, Biagi. go buy a Tahoe from Biagi. Make his Christmas. They got a lot of great cars over there. Good people. They took care of me. Literally, I bought a car there, and that's the biggest endorsement I can give.
This is a big question, so I don't know if we want to tackle it now, but could a playoff berth where they back in kind of at 8-8 or 8-9-7, whatever it may be, could that be the worst thing for this team? Because then it maybe gives the front office a false sense of security, and the guys that maybe should be gone stick around. Is that really the worst thing that can happen, a playoff berth where they then lose immediately, but it shows gives the front office a false sense of we accomplished something?
Well, the existing front, I mean, say what you want to say, Pete, because I feel like you're, like, couching yourself.
No, I just think we have all these issues with how Gruden runs things and how the current front office is structured, and if they lose and go seven-game losing streak, then we expect some widespread changes. But if they somehow turn this around and get into the playoffs at 8-8 or 9-7, then everybody's like, hey, it's a postseason playoff appearance. Everything's working out. We should stick with this plan. But it could just be a very short-term Band-Aid when, in reality, this thing kind of needs to be torn down regardless of whether they make the playoffs or not.
Well, one, I don't see it happening. But two,
I know.
That's an ownership question, dude, because the front office, the existing front office, absolutely believes what they're doing is the right thing to do. You know what I mean? Like these are the guys building the team. The existing front office blames the situation on injuries. And I think a lot of the existing situation you can blame on injuries. Not all of it, and then there's obviously areas that were never addressed that should have been. But I think I know what you mean. Like, for people that want a drastic overhaul at Redskins Park, for the folks that want Bruce Allen gone, that want Jay Gruden gone, if they win a couple games, is that actually bad towards getting that done? And I would argue yes. But I also would argue that's why the conversation about firing all these guys is probably premature, at least until week 17, and we see what happens in this AFC South swing I contend a very winnable game in Jacksonville. Now, Tennessee, I think, is a really hard game to win. But, you know, the Jaguars can't score. They don't move the ball. The Skins' defense has been bad, but Zach Brown said they were embarrassed last week, and they've got to respond from that. So who the hell knows what's going to happen defensively? I do think the Skins' offense will show up, and it'll kind of depend on if the Jacksonville defense shows up, because that's a talented group. But Mitch, answer Pete's question. Do you think, I don't know, to me it was kind of a two-party question.
Yeah, I'm opposite of you guys. I'm in the camp that no playoff appearance is a bad playoff appearance. All your chips are down, as they may be, but you make the playoffs and you're three-game win streak away from the Super Bowl. And it's the wild, wacky NFL. Who knows if Josh Johnson is a spark that gets this offense moving? I mean, you make the playoffs and you give yourself an opportunity to do something special, you know? And I agree that, you know, potentially it delays what may seem as inevitable, but at the same time, these guys aren't thinking that way. You know, Mason Foster and Josh Johnson and Adrian Peterson aren't thinking what's going to happen with my head coach or what's going to happen with the front office. Those guys are still in there in the park, first thing in the morning, working out, studying tape, preparing for these games. Any playoff appearance is a good playoff appearance to me.
Well, Mitch, that's not opposite me. I didn't say that. Maybe you're opposite Pete. I said I don't see it happening. That doesn't mean it can't. And I agree. As far as the team, and that's what I was saying, like, the team in the front office, they don't think it's a bad thing to make the playoffs. That's what they're fighting for. I mean, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, they're right there on the doorstep. You think about how badly everything has gone wrong in the last 4 weeks, and yet somehow miraculously they're still there, which is, you know,
they're not right
people
there. It's still
crying.
Possible. They can still see the door, but they're not right there.
Well, the door is still within reach. How about that?
Sure, Pete. Do you want to explain it? What you were trying to say, or?
I mean, I think I kind of have, but just when you. They may get the ultimate goal, which is making the playoffs, but it's not like they do it in convincing fashion or they've kind of assembled all the right pieces. It kind of just erases all the flaws that people have been complaining about and the practice habits and the certain decisions that have been made. And then if you make the playoffs, you can't just – it's not like that erases everything that's been negative. It's just a, hey, good job, we made it there. Let's just try and bury all the negative aspects below the making the playoffs. And then it's not like they're going to, I don't know. I want them to make the playoffs. It'd be cool. It'd be fun. The players would get great experience. The young guys should do it. Like, all these players have been busting their ass and fighting through adversity to get there, so it'd be great for them. But it just, I don't know if 1-9-7 playoff appearance and a quick exit is what this team needs, really, in the long, long run. It needs longer, bigger, forward-thinking changes.
Yeah, but you assume that that happens if they finish 7-9, and I think that might
exactly be,
like, too much of a presumption also. Like if this team finishes 8-8, I don't know that longer-term vision stuff happens. And frankly, yeah, I'm not sure what's really possible. I think they got to draft a quarterback, but I don't know. I think everybody has the Giants' loss in their mind, and that was a absolute embarrassment. And then you put Mason on top of that, and it feels like everything is a train wreck for the 2018 season. But like, the craziest part about the NFL, and like, you kind of learn this being there every day for a few years, is that you got to try when you can, and this is tough for fans to do, especially like in the Twitter era and social media where everything is like a constant, you know, analysis of the moment. Like, everything is either great or trash, and it all depends on what just happened. But like, this team was 6-3 and in first place, and they did have some good pieces going, and certainly they could get better. But like, if they win two of these last three, do we remember the season as a train wreck? To me, it's only a train wreck if they lose out, if they go 6-10. If they get to 7-9 with their fourth string quarterback playing, you know, like, I just think so much is left to be determined. I don't know if you guys agree. I think the last 2 weeks have been awful. And honestly, maybe longer than that. I think from the Alex injury to the Colt injury to the Foster signing to all of this shit going on now with Mason has really been awful. But I think a win, if they can just win a damn game, changes the perception of a lot of that. And I guess, Pete, to your point, should the perception be changed? That's a realistic question.
Yeah, I don't know if beating Cody Kessler in Jacksonville all of a sudden should make everybody feel better about all the stuff that's happening.
But all the stuff
at the same time,
if Alex Smith was your quarterback, how different would that all have been? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you go beat Jacksonville, you beat a bad team or whatever, and you find yourself on the brink of the playoffs, what is our conversation next week about? The conversation next week won't be about, oh, they need to get rid of X, Y, or Z. The conversation will be, okay, we have a you know, make or break game for the playoffs against the Titans on Saturday. You know, the NFL is crazy like that, where you lose a game or two or three or four and shit starts popping off, but it's week to week. You go win a game and the narrative changes.
It is a week to week league, man. If they can win in Jacksonville, the conversation next week is all about Josh Johnson, which we were supposed to talk about and haven't. So let's talk about Josh Johnson. Let's not pretend that any of us have much file on the guy, but he's got a hell of an arm. He's got a rocket, especially compared to the guys that have lined up under center for the Skins this season. Alex, Colt, and we didn't see enough of Sanchez, but Alex and Colt are not strong arm dudes. Johnson is. He's mobile. I think we're going to see plenty of read option. I think we'll see the RPOs. And just when you talk to him, he has the perfect balance of, like, I don't know if you guys agree with me. He has the perfect balance of, like, humble, thankful, and chip on his shoulder a little bit, too. Like the perspective, absolutely, Mitch. You know, he talked about all the opportunities he's had, all the things he's learned. He wasn't sure that he'd ever make it back to the NFL. He's been on 12 teams. He hasn't started a game since 2011, I believe. This is a guy that talked about playing for the Sacramento Mountain Lions. He's seen it all, done it all, but yet kept fighting, kept himself in position for this opportunity. I don't mean this as a slight to Mark Sanchez at all, but Sanchez got to live
the high life. He was a quarterback at USC. He was a top 10 pick. He was the toast of the town in New York for a little while. He got the Jets to two AFC title games. Like, Sanchez got to live that life. Josh Johnson has never lived that life. Like, he is scrapping, clawing for everything, all these opportunities he's getting. And it's kind of hard not to root for the guy when you listen to him talk.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, when you listen to him talk, it's hard not to root for the dude. He's I love his, like I said, his perspective, the way that, you know, he talked about being at home last week and this feels like Disneyland and all that. But more so, like, he talked about if he can get a coach to get him to understand, you know, the reason that that a play is designed a certain way, that there's no reason that he can't execute it. It was just a very analytical way of looking at learning a new offense. You know, a lot of people think it's about memorizing X's and O's and this player is going to run a slant here, this player is going to run an out there. But he talked about understanding kind of the offensive concepts. And that's kind of a different tone than you hear often from, hell, any quarterback really. So I was kind of interested to see the way that he looks at learning an offense was kind of through a different set of eyes. And maybe that's the perspective a guy who's played for 12 teams kind of gets. He understands that, you know, not everybody runs a skinny post the same way. Not everybody does X, Y, and Z that way. So it was interesting to hear him talk, and I can't wait to see him with a full week of practice under his belt, see what he can do against Jacksonville.
Yeah, the quote that stuck out to me the most today was from Chris Thompson, and that he said Josh Johnson's confidence reminds him and some other players of Alex Smith's confidence, and they're clearly not the same quarterback, but Jay Gruden also mentioned confidence as kind of this factor that separates Johnson from other guys. But I am very interested to see how playing against the Giants when they're up 40-0 in the second half compares to, all right, the Jaguars know you're coming in. The defensive coordinator in Jacksonville was with Johnson at one of his many previous stops, so can he do it in a game where it's 0-0 and the defense is ready for you, as opposed to you're going up against a defense that's probably not going 100% and isn't playing the most complex scheme? So it's going to be a totally different challenge for him, and he seems up for it, but I don't know if he will be up for it when the game actually starts on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the wild card, right? We don't know what we're going to get on the field. But I'll say this, and I kind of hesitated saying this publicly, but what the hell? You know, everybody else is saying everything publicly, or if I said it privately, somebody might tweet it out anyway, so who knows? I truly believe, and I've kind of been told, that the guys did not believe they could win with Mark Sanchez at quarterback, and as soon as you saw the pick six get thrown against the Giants game, that's when things fell apart, because the guys just understood we don't have a chance in this thing. And I know they're pro ball players, and that shouldn't be the case, but I think if you wonder where the effort and where the concentration went, I think it went away at that point once the pick six got thrown. I also think the effort and the concentration picked back up once Josh Johnson came back in the game. And I do believe that you will see a different effort and concentration level Sunday against the Jaguars, because they think, hey, maybe we can pull this thing off. I don't know if saw that or agree.
I thought Pete made an important point in last week with Josh Johnson was exciting, but you got to remember he came into a 40-0 ball game. You know, he put up two touchdowns, the long throw to Crowder, but it's not like the Giants were either A, scheming him up, or B, playing any sort of complex defense on him. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes out with. But to your point, JP, I agree. You could feel the change in momentum when the Redskins made the change to Josh Johnson. And hopefully it's something that carries over and he can kind of be the rallying cry for this team this season or the rest of the season.
I think just from straight tactical, like, the O-line is a mess. Having a guy that can run like Johnson is helpful. But I think that is pretty obvious. But I think that helps them, too, that, hey, nothing's there. Just get what you can on the ground. I don't know.
I think you also got to remember that it's going to be – he's going to have the full arsenal of weapons, more or less. I mean, Jordan Reed, I guess, but getting Crowder and having Chris Thompson back, he's going to have a couple of those more explosive players to help him out that, you know, he can dump the ball off to and hope they can get some yak.
Yeah, no Jordan Reed for sure. Josh Doctson's a question mark. You know, you're talking about they're hoping Tony Bergstrom can come back to play guard. I don't know about the full arsenal of weapons, dude.
That was a reset.
I get that Mark Sanchez is not an inspiring person at quarterback. I totally understand that. But I question if this team needs Josh Johnson to step in and bring the spark that needed to get them up for an important game in December, then what the hell are they doing in the first place? It shouldn't take the insertion of Josh Johnson to spark people and get them excited to play. They should have kind of had that from the start.
Well, Pete, I totally agree with you. I think it's a very valid point. But here's what I would say. The Skins were playing well until the fucking... Oh, I can't say that. The Skins were playing well until the big... The defense was playing well. Then he throws the pick six, and that's the point where I think they're like, oh, dude, we got no chance.
Totally fair. But you're down. It wasn't a pick 100. It was a pick six. Maybe not let Saquon then gash you for 150 yards. And I understand they haven't come back from anything this year. And, yes, it's Mark Sanchez, and that offense wasn't moving at all. But it's one touchdown. And if one touchdown is enough to just take you out of a game and all of a sudden it's 40 to nothing, then this defense is weaker than we even thought it was.
Fair points. Pete is doing...
He's a little fired up today.
Yeah, dude. I think Pete's been pretty down for a while. am I misremembering?
No, I think this is a new. This is moved out of my mom's house, Pete. There's a new confidence, a new fire.
Even when he was still living with his parents, like, remember he called the losing. I guess I don't know if you called this level of losing streak, but when Houston was coming to town, Pete's like, they're gonna lose the next two, and then everybody's gonna be freaked out again. Do I have that right, Pete? I feel like I remember that.
Yeah, I tweeted about that. I mean, I'm just trying to. I understand all this positivity, and it's okay. Hopefully, Josh Johnson. But like, this is the third quarterback in a row where we had. Let me finish.
Who's like preaching positivity? I'm just saying that there was clearly a spark when he went in the game. I don't know.
I know.
Mitch is the one talking about Super Bowl shit. I'm just saying, like, I think he could win them a game in Jacksonville.
I know. Yes, the larger point is, yes, I've been kind of doubtful of this team for a while now, and I'm not going to fall into the trap of, hey, this guy's easy to root for, and that was really fun to listen to him talk, because we've done that with Cole and we've done that with Mark, so I'm just going to take a back seat and kind of wait and see, and I'm not expecting anything really inspiring.
I think that's not only fair, but probably smart. I just take exception to you saying I'm being positive. Or negative, like, I think I'm just telling what happened. Mitch is the crazy one that talked about the Super Bowl, for the record.
I said anytime, how many six seeds have made the conference championship in the past 2 years? I mean, it's every other year now.
I don't think that's true.
That a team that limped into the playoffs, sure.
What are you talking about?
The wild card teams are making runs in the playoffs?
You said conference championship.
Yeah.
Last year was Pats, Jags, and Eagles, Vikings? Both of them won their division.
All right, so last year's the exception.
I don't know, dude. Mitch being positive. Good for you, Mitchell.
Yep, that's me.
Positive Mitch. Positive Mitch and pessimist Pete.
Maybe I'm just stressed about all these bills I have to pay, and I'm going home. I don't really know what I'm going to have for dinner. It's hard being on your own.
Don't you have steaks left from Mark?
I do, but I have to, like, figure out what vegetables I'm going to make with it, and it's I don't know if I do green beans or broccoli or if I've got enough butter. Like, there's a lot of things going on here.
What do you just have, frozen or canned or what?
Definitely frozen, but do I have enough dishes to use? No, I want to run some laundry. Do I need to worry about that? And there's a CVS run I want to make at some point, so maybe that's the pessimism, or maybe, yeah, it's the fact that this team's just falling apart and somehow still in the playoffs.
Do you have laundry in your apartment?
Oh, yeah. I did it last night. It was great. Nothing shrunk. Nothing bled. It was good. So I'm going to try and maybe wash some towels and then a little seat cover tonight as well.
Nice.
Did you just let me over? Did I just pull in front of you about to go over the bridge?
I don't believe so, no. I'm somewhere else. I'm right by the Kennedy Center, actually. I just made a wrong turn. I just made a wrong turn, and now my maps are rerouting me, so it's good.
Well, do you know that everything's one way over there for rush hour traffic? I'm guessing you don't know that.
Of course not.
All right, we
how about you guys enjoying all this traffic?
I mean, dude, it's... All right, we got to go. So everybody knows we're not talking on the phone. We're all on Bluetooth. This was the only way to get the podcast recorded in any good amount of time to get it up. Hopefully you don't mind. Hopefully the audio wasn't too bad. One more time, thank you to the good folks, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Hit us all on Twitter. I'm JP Finley, NBCS. Pete, what's your Twitter?
Peter Haley, NBCS. No underscores, no nothing.
And Mitchell, what about you? You guys changed
I'll
your Twitter
I'll hit you with the underscore.
What?
I'm Mitch underscore Tischler.
All right. Follow everybody, and thank you for listening. We'll be back. We got a couple really good interviews that we might put out a bonus Thursday podcast with the Zach Brown interview. I talked to Deron Payne for a while. He was really interesting to speak with. So I'm thinking we'll drop that tomorrow afternoon. But I hope you enjoyed this one, and we will talk soon. Thanks very much. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.